All right, third service. You guys ready? All right, okay. Get some energy going in the room. Hey, my name's Clayton. So glad you guys are with us today. I just want to let y'all know that I'm super jet lagged right now. We flew back from Thailand this past week, and I was gone for the last two Sundays because we were over there. And I just want to say thank you to Noah, our student pastor. He did a great job beginning this sermon series and preaching the last two weeks. But man, it's been rough. Like, it's no joke, the jet lag. Yesterday, I slept till 1:15 in the afternoon on Saturday. Like, I was just asleep. And Holly thought I was dead. She had to check on me a couple times. I had the eye mask on, so I have no idea, like, it was up or down. I didn't know it was day or night. I couldn't believe I slept that long. But here's the problem. I slept for 30 minutes last night. Like, I am in big trouble right now. I'm on a ton of coffee. Here we go. We're just going to jump right into it. Noah did an awesome job again preaching and out of Isaiah, and we're going to continue that. So if you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 9, the Old Testament, we're going to be there, Isaiah 9. If you're new here, all the scripture, everything will be up on the screen, so you can have it right there. But let's jump into the verse again, which is verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9. Here's what it says. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. So Isaiah, he's an Old Testament prophet, 700 years before Jesus comes to the earth, and he is prophesying about the Messiah who is to come. And he says, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called, and gives him four names. He says, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And so the Jesus that we celebrate during Christmas, he is going to be those things. He's going to be the Wonderful Counselor. And so he's going to be a one-of-a-kind guide. That's what we talked about a couple weeks ago. Also, he's going to be Mighty God. So he's going to be an all-powerful ruler. But then it says that Jesus, the Messiah, is going to be Everlasting Father. Now, I just need to be honest with y'all. That's super confusing. I mean, this is, out of all four sermons we're preaching this series, this is the most difficult one. How in the world can Jesus, the Messiah, be the Everlasting Father? Well, Isaiah isn't saying that God the Son, Jesus, is going to also be God the Father. He's not the same person. That's not what he's talking about. What he says is that his name shall be called, and begins to list off parts of the ways that he's going to be described. In other words, it's listing descriptive names for the Messiah. Like, when you're describing someone to another person, when you're saying, hey, this is my friend John, you use the phrase my friend, or this is my wife Holly, and use her name. Like, we're using these descriptors when we're in relationship with someone. And that's what Isaiah is doing. He's describing the Messiah's relationship to us. So he's not saying that he is God the Father, but what he is saying is that the Messiah will be a father figure. Now, how do we know that? Well, in order to know that, we gotta do something, which is called like the whole counsel of God. We gotta look at the whole counsel of God, meaning all of the Bible. So we need to look at all of the Bible. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis. No, we're not gonna do that. I'm just kidding. We're not gonna do that. So we need to look at all of Scripture, meaning that we need to let Scripture speak towards verses that are very, very difficult. And so there are a couple rules when you're interpreting Scripture that we have to remember. One of them is that Scripture doesn't contradict itself. And so if you get to a passage like Isaiah 9:6 and you're going, that's weird. Why is it saying that? That seems like it's going against something else. Well, Scripture doesn't contradict itself. And so we know right off the bat that it's not saying that God the Son, Jesus, the Messiah, is actually God the Father. It's not saying that. So it's saying something else. Also, we got to understand when we're interpreting Scripture that Scripture is without error. So that's, there's not a mistake here. And so if there is error or if there is contradiction, then everything crumbles in the Bible. All the beliefs we have, all the ways that we're living, everything is kind of worthless if there are contradictions and errors within it. But the Bible teaches something different. The Bible teaches that God is not a single person who is wearing like different hats or something like that. You guys have all probably gone to a play where an actor or actress goes off, is one character, goes off stage, changes clothes, and comes back out as a different kind of character. And people think that God is kind of like that, that he is wearing different hats at different times in history. So you open up the Old Testament, you're like, oh, God the Father is in the Old Testament. And then when the Gospels come, he becomes God the Son. And then after the Gospels, after Jesus dies and rises from the grave, then he becomes God the Spirit at different times. But that's not what the Bible teaches about God. The Bible teaches that God is three distinct people, three distinct persons, but is one. So Jesus, he can't be God the Father, and he can't be God the Son, or God the Spirit, because he is God the Son. Yet he's still one God. You know what that's called? A mystery, okay? Just a mystery, and we're not going to spend the rest of the day trying to explain it, because sometimes we just got to trust that God knows what he's doing. And we can't put God in a box here. But it's really, really important to look at all of Scripture, especially when you get to a verse that's kind of difficult. So, is Jesus the Son or is he the Father? Because it says that he's the everlasting Father. Well, if you look at verse 6 again, at the very beginning, it says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. And then it goes on and says, he's the everlasting Father as well. And so in that one verse, it says that he's both the Son and he is an everlasting Father. Jesus called both. Well, when it talks about him being a son, it's describing his position, who he is. When it's talking about him being an everlasting Father, it's talking about his relationship with us. And it uses that phrase everlasting as well. And we can't forget about the word everlasting here. Now, it's not saying that doesn't just say, hey, he will be everlasting, talking about his eternal nature. It's not talking about that. It's put together with the word Father. So you can't separate the two. You see, when it's talking about everlasting or eternal, it's describing his fatherhood. So the simplest way that I could, you know, share that today is here up on the screen, that what he's trying to say is that the Messiah will be a father figure forever. Real simple, right? That Jesus the Messiah will be a father figure to us forever. So when you hear the word father, what do you think about? I know in our culture, like, we have daddy issues big time, okay? In our culture, some of us had great dads. Some of us did not have great dads. Some of us have been good dads, and some of us have not been good dads. Did you know that in our culture, one out of every four kids lives without their dad? Like, we live in a broken world. And so when we use phrases like father, like, different things come to our minds. For some of us, it might be the thought of care and commitment and help and love. Or you may have the opposite side of your past. You may think about someone being distant, someone being selfish, someone being uncaring or cruel because of what has happened in your past. Some of us have a sense of loss during Christmas when we think about our dads. Maybe we've lost our dad. Maybe you mourn the dad that you actually never had. Some of us maybe actually have this fear of abandonment when we think about our dads, because our dad left us. And we're always wondering, like, is he ever going to return? Or if you get a stepdad, the question is, when are you going to leave? When someone abandons you, like, it doesn't matter if you're 70 or 80 years old now, you still are marked by that. It still hurts. And Isaiah is saying, look, Jesus is different. Jesus is the perfect dad. And he's the perfect dad that will never leave. He's never going to leave you. There are no more goodbyes with Jesus, which is a great thing to think about, especially when we try to look at him in light of our situation here on this earth. You know, Romans chapter 8, verse 39 says that nothing in all of creation can ever separate us from God's love. Nothing can, not even death. In fact, you know what death does? It just brings us closer to him. You know, so maybe you're a dad in this room, for all the guys in this room. Maybe you're a dad who's messed up. Anybody? One dude in the back. Okay, we got one dad. Okay, you and me, all right? That's it. All of us, right? Every single dad in this room, you have messed up. We're far from perfect, right? Even in our best efforts, sometimes we're harsh, sometimes we're judgmental, or we're demanding, we're selfish, we're rude. You know, maybe all of us have experienced, or some of us have experienced a dad who's messed up. That's true for probably every single one of us in this room. But here's what I think God is wanting to share with us today. God wants to comfort us. He wants to comfort you, and he wants to comfort me and tell us that, look, when it comes to having a father figure in your life, the Messiah is someone you can trust. You can be safe and satisfied with Jesus. Why? Because Isaiah says, look, someday a child is going to be born, and his name is going to be Everlasting Father. Now, to describe this a little bit better, I can't like use just a bunch of examples. We actually need to go to Scripture, because Scripture speaks to itself. And so I want you to turn to Psalm 103. So turn to the left in your Bible. A few pages, you get to Psalm. Go to Psalm 103. And Psalm 103 is going to help us to understand what it means for the Messiah to actually be a father figure. How can God be a father figure that's different than your experience with a dad? Here's what it says in verse 8. It says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. That's probably way different than dads are, right? He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. You know, I was reading these two verses around here this week on the airplane. It was like, we spent like 26 hours in an airplane. It was rough. And so I had a lot of time to think, and I watched way too many movies, guys. You ever done that in long flights? Way too many movies. I should have been studying, but I was watching movies. But I was thinking through these two verses right here, Psalm 103, verses 8 and 9, and just thinking through that, have you ever had the fear of making a mistake in front of your dad? Like growing up, that your dad just demanded so much of you. And honestly, I was thinking about that, not with my dad, but with myself. And kind of doing some soul searching and realizing that in my own house, this is kind of be honest with y'all a little bit. In my own house, I'm a perfectionist. Anybody know that about me? Okay, like I want things done perfect and now. Like that's just my nature, right? And I always thought that was a good thing. And now I'm realizing with a student or he's at OU. He's a student at OU and student in high school. Got two kids, and I'm realizing that in my own house, like I've not really created like this healthy home, but instead this kind of prison of perfectionism, where I want things to be perfect, and I demand this kind of perfectionism on my kids that I should never do. And in fact, so I've been a dad that's been here. I haven't abandoned them, but I've not been a good dad to them at times. And I want to read this quote to you. I'm up on the screen. It's from the author. Julia Cameron. Here's what she says about perfectionism. I found this and I thought, man, I got to share this. She said, perfectionism is not a quest for the best. It's a pursuit of the worst in ourselves. The part that tells us that nothing we do will ever be good enough. And man, I just realized that, I don't know if I'm just speaking to myself or anybody understands this as well, but sometimes we're too hard on our kids, and we may be here, but we demand so much from our kids, we're not being a good dad. We're constantly accusing them. We get angry so easily. Yet the Bible says the Lord is compassionate and merciful. He's a different kind of dad, and he's slow to get angry. Now it goes on. Let me read some more. Verse 10, here's what it says. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. Have we done that as dads? Have we experienced that with our dads? Verse 11 says, for his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. And he has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. What is this talking about? Well, it's describing God as a good dad. He's describing Jesus the Messiah as a good dad. And in him being a perfect father figure, here's what it's saying. Especially this verse 12 right here. What it's saying is that Jesus, he fully forgives us. I think that's something that we need to kind of wrap our minds around and understand, because sometimes we don't think that God is going to forgive us. And he's not going to do it fully. There's always strings attached. Now here's the truth. He never ignores sin. Okay? Instead, he deals with sin. We see this in this passage that he removes it. So he doesn't ignore sin. He actually deals with sin. I want you to think about this. I mean, almost every one of us have dealt with our kids when they have just gone outside. It's muddy and rainy, and they just get mud and dirt all over them, okay? We told them not to, but they did anyways, you know? And they want to come inside. You're like, no, you're not coming inside, okay? And so a bad dad would just sit on the couch and ignore them, and they would come inside and be like, ah, whatever. But a good dad stops them at the door, and he goes and gets the hose. You know what I'm saying? You go and get the hose, and you just you start spraying down your kid. But you don't just stay at a distance. What a good dad does is a good dad actually gets down with their little kid, and they begin to wash them from head to toe. And what happens is with that proximity and that relationship is that as a dad, you're going to get dirty yourself. Your shoes are going to get dirty. Your clothes are going to get all dirty. And what the Bible is saying is that Jesus, he's like that. He is that good dad. Let me say this. He's actually more than that. He's a perfect dad. And what he has done to make us spiritually clean, not physically clean, but spiritually clean, is he has to get dirty himself. Did y'all realize that? That's what a good dad does, right? To clean your kids, you might get dirty yourself. And that's what he does for us spiritually. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says this, that he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross. Meaning that he got dirty for us. He took all of our dirt and he put it on himself so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. And by his wounds, you are healed. You see, Jesus, he is this everlasting Father. And if I were to sum this up in just the simplest terms for you and for me, it'd be this way. You're his kid and he loves you. He loves you. You're his kid and he loves you. And Psalm 103 shows us this. Back in verse 8, it says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. That's a good dad, right, that loves us. And I love what verse 13 kind of sums it all up. It says, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. Like, I can tolerate other people's kids, but I love my kids, you know? Like, I love my kids, and I like other kids, but I don't love them like I love my kids. You know what I'm saying? I am not going to bend over backwards for someone else's kids. That's their problem, you know? But when it comes to my own kids, I mean, I just treat them a little bit differently. We all do that, right? We want to love our kids. We want to protect them. We want to provide for them. And it's always been the same way. This isn't like a modern thing. Back in ancient times, in the Old Testament times, when Isaiah is writing this to the people, I mean, they understood what kind of father that was. Fathers did the same thing. They wanted to protect and provide for their kids. And he's saying, look, the Messiah, he's going to be that kind of dad. He's going to be that kind of dad. And that's what Jesus does. As a perfect dad, you know what Jesus does? He protects us. If you don't believe me, the Bible is full of places where Jesus protects us. Here's a couple of them. In Philippians chapter 4, it says that he will guard our hearts and our minds. That's what he wants to do. He wants to protect us that way. 2 Thessalonians 3, he says that he will guard you from evil. He wants to protect you from evil. Psalm chapter 3 says that the Lord is a shield around me. He wants to provide that kind of protection. As a perfect dad, he protects, but he also, as a perfect dad, he provides. The Bible's full of places where God provides for us and shows us this. Philippians 4 says that God will supply all your needs. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus has thousands upon thousands of people around him. And instead of just preaching to them and telling them the truth and leaving, instead he feeds all of them because he wants to show just how he can provide for them. In Matthew chapter 11, when you are going through a difficult time, Jesus says, look, you need to take all that burden that's on your shoulders that you're carrying and you need to put it off of you. Instead, you need to put my yoke upon you. Why? Because my yoke is easy. He wants to provide that for you. Ephesians chapter 2, he says that the Bible says that God provides direction for us. When we're wandering around, don't know what this life is all about or what our future is going to look like, he provides that kind of direction. 1 Corinthians 10, the Bible says that he provides an escape route from sin. In John 14, 6, the Bible says that he provides salvation. Man, Jesus, as the perfect dad, he provides so much for us. That's what a good dad does. But let me just say one other thing. Jesus, as the perfect dad, he also pursues us, doesn't he? He pursues us. This past week when we were in Thailand, we were in all these around, everybody's Buddhist in Thailand. And so we went to a couple of different Buddhist temples It was awesome. We did prayer walking through there. But these temples, they have these giant Buddha statues, like 3 or 4 stories tall, painted in gold. And they're always on these platforms that you have to ascend to. And so many people would be doing that. We'd be watching them. They would take their shoes off and they would begin to ascend up to the Buddha. And they were praying to the Buddha to try to earn merit so that they could have a better life in the afterlife. Okay. And so they're trying to earn favor by ascending up to this Buddha. But the truth is that the one true God says, no, I'm coming to you. Isn't that a good news? He says, no, you don't have to ascend to me and be perfect. I am instead going to come to you. Look, John chapter 1, verse 14 is probably one of the most amazing verses in all the Bible. And it says that the Word became human. God himself, Jesus the Messiah, he became human and made his home among us. He got off his throne and he came to be like us. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus says, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, right? And to seek and to save those who are lost. That's what he came to do. And then throughout the rest of his time here on earth, he showed us the way that he did that. Here's a couple examples. He went to the woman at the well. He passed by Zacchaeus when he was up in the tree. These sinners, these ugly, dirty, nasty people that should not be let in the house, right? And he says, hey, I'm coming to you. He got on Peter's boat. He showed up at Matthew's tax booth. And when he was teaching people about the prodigal son, the one who had run away and did his own thing, you know who Jesus is in that story? He's the Father. He's the Father that's running back towards the Son. When Jesus is talking about the sheep that have gone astray, and there's a good shepherd that comes back and finds them, Jesus is that good shepherd in the story. Here's what it's saying. The Messiah is your faithful dad, and he loves you. He loves you. But here's a truth this morning. I need to kind of end with this, that if you reject his love, you're never going to be satisfied. You can chase after so many things, whether it's a drug or it's a pleasure or success, but all those things will be like sugar highs that'll never fully satisfy, and they will eventually leave you empty. And the truth this morning is that you and I, we will one day die. Every single one of us will die. And you will be separated from God if you reject his love. And what is his love? His love is Jesus, the Messiah, who died on the cross, took all of your sin upon himself to make you clean. But what do you have to do? You got to trust him. You have to trust in him. My question for us this morning is, have you trusted in Jesus? Have you put your faith in him? I would invite you today to make that choice. The most important decision you could ever make is trusting in Jesus. You know, for some of us, probably for most of us in this room, we would say, hey, I have trusted in Jesus. Well, I got a question for you. Is your relationship strong that you could call him your dad? Where you spent so much time with him, do you have that father figure kind of relationship? Maybe you've been distant from him for a while. Maybe you need to come back to him today. Maybe you've been like that prodigal son that's run. You're like, you know what? I'm tired of running. I want to come back to my father. I want to come back to my good dad. Jesus can be that father figure that you've always wanted, always wish you had. He can be that for you, but you got to trust in him. You got to trust in him. This is not a longer, profound kind of passage, but it can change your life. Jesus the Messiah is the everlasting Father. He is a father figure forever. He is a good dad that loves you. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for the Son. Thank you so much that you sent him to come to this earth to be our Messiah, to die for us, to pay for our sins. Like a good dad, he gets down. He stoops down to us and gets dirty. Because God, we are dirty. We're sinners in need of a Savior. So I pray this morning for anyone who has never trusted in Jesus. I pray that today might be the day of salvation for them. That they would put aside all their striving to be good enough. And they would realize that they can never be good enough to get to you. Only thing they can do is trust in you. put all their faith in you. I pray that today they may pray to you and do that. Lord, I know that there's a lot of us in this room who would say, hey, I have done that. But maybe we aren't running towards you. Maybe we're running away from you. Like a good dad, you're running after us. You pursue us because you love us. I pray for anyone in this room who needs to turn around and come back to you again, that you would speak to their hearts and they would do that. Lord, I just want to pray a special prayer for all the dads in this room. We are not perfect. We've made a lot of mistakes. But you're a good dad. And you'll never leave us. And you're quick to forgive. And so I pray for forgiveness for all of us dads who have messed up. And I ask, Lord, that we would run back to you. You would teach us how to love our families well. And God, that you would get all the glory for it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're super glad that you decided to join us today. And if this was your first time, we want to say welcome to the family. We're so glad that you were here. If you're someone who during the message, you thought, you know what? I want to know more about Christ. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to know what it means to be forgiven. We want to connect with you. The easiest way to do that is to text FORGIVEN to 94,000. That way, one of our ministers can reach out to you and you can begin a conversation knowing how God can change your life. Here at Central, we believe that Jesus changes everything, and we end every service the exact same way by saying our purpose statement together. Here at Central, we exist to live for Christ, love people, and make disciples. We'll see you next time.